produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Second Samuel chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "Then there was a famine." I'm reading from the King James Version. "There was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.'" Verse 3 says, "Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, 'What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make thee atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?' And the Gibeonites said unto him, 'We will have no silver nor gold of Saul. We don't want any of his money. We don't want anything from your house or his house. Neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel.' And he said, 'What you shall say, that's what I'll do for you.'" Verse 5, "They answered the king, 'The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us. We will hang them up into the Lord and give them over to the Lord and give of Saul, whom the Lord did choose.' And the king said, 'I'm going to give you those 7 men to hang.'" Verse 8, "But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, whom she bare unto Saul, and Armanah and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzaliah." And as we skip on to the next verse, in verse 9, "He delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. They hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest." Verse 10, "And Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night." Verse 11, "It was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Verse 12, David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slain Saul in Geba. He brought up from thence the bones of Saul, the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged." And verse 14, "And the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin, in the cemetery or the grave of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land." Emphasis on verse 10. "And Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night." As we are talking today, as we continue on in this series of Revived, it's Mother's Day, and I wanted to have a sermon this year that was kind of touching Mother's Day. And so as we deal with this, I wanted to look at this revival of sorts of what it's like when life seems as if it's ending. But God has a way of giving us a new beginning. I wanted us to look at this because in 2 Samuel chapter 21, you'll discover, and I want to just allow Rizpah to be the center, but let me give you the backdrop of what has occurred. Saul has done a gruesome thing. The Bible allows us to know that Saul had decided to eliminate the Gibeonites, who were not part of the 12 tribes of Israel, but they were distant cousins. And he decided that he was going to eliminate them from, the earth. He wanted to wipe them clean. The Bible allows us to know in 2 Samuel 21, as Geba, the residents of Geba, the tribe of Geba, is trying to be eliminated by Saul. Saul is now dead, and now his children are left behind. And David realizes there's a famine in the land, and you don't have to understand what a famine is, but you know what famine means. Famine simply means a place of desolation. It is a scarcity. There is a dearth. There is a negative. There is literally a position that you don't want to be in. There is no rain falling on the earth for now 3 years. And in this famine in chapter 21, it says for 3 years, rain has not fallen on the earth. And David has inquired of the Lord, and the Lord has given him a clear answer that the reason why there is no rain falling on the earth is because of what Saul tried to do in killing the tribe of Geba. And God allows him to know, I had made Geba a promise that nobody was going to touch them, but Saul betrayed me. And he tried to wipe off Geba from the face of the earth. And now that they remain, just a remnant, just a few people remain, the only thing that can happen is that, notice, he allows them to know that the only thing that can break the famine is you've got to make a sacrifice of 7 people. Now, I know this is very bloody. I know this is very bad. But understand that's literally what they asked for. They asked for 7 people. We just want 7 men, and we don't per se want these 7 men for ourselves, because we want God to deal with them. But what we're going to do, we're going to hang them and offer them up to God. And the Bible allows us to know that David inquires of all of the tribes of Geba, of the tribe, the family of Geba, and says, who are the 7 that you want? They say, you choose the 7 as long as they have the household of Saul. We don't want money. We don't want stuff, and we don't want things. We want 7 of Saul's blood. The Bible says David goes in, grabs 7 people. He keeps his oath to Mephibosheth and says, Mephibosheth can't be one, because I've already given him an oath that I would protect him all the days of his life. And the Bible allows us to know that when you read in 2 Samuel 21, that notice that they offer up the 7, and 2 of the men that are offered up are from a lady by the name of Rizpah. You may not know who Rizpah is, but let me kind of clear up who Rizpah is, because many of us, when we hear the name of Rizpah, it may not mean anything. But the name Rizpah, it literally means a bed or a hot stone. She is the daughter of Ahiah, and Ahiah literally means a vulture or a raven. Well, now that we know the name of Rizpah and what it means, let's look and see what Rizpah does, because Rizpah is a prime and perfect example of what a mother should be like to their children. When you look at 2 Samuel chapter 21, understand, Rizpah is in a bad spot, not because of her choices, but because of someone else's choices. Let me see if I can make that plain. Somebody this morning, you're in a bad spot. It has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with other people's decisions. Now you're in a bad choice, got bad choices, bad decisions that are made, and you're in a bad spot. And even though this was not done to her, it has affected her. What do you do when life has happened to you? Because to be truthful, all of us have situations in which life has happened to us.
let me go on and get into this, because the Bible allows us to know that in verse 9, David delivers the seven men. They hang them. Two are Rizpah's son. And those two men hang there dead. In verse 10, Rizpah, the daughter, takes sackcloth and spread it for her upon a rock. In other words, she's grieving and mourning for her sons that have died. The Bible allows us to know that, notice what Rizpah does. She protects them in death and does for them in death what she's done for them in their life. Let me be clear about something. You ought to protect your children. And I'm not just talking about in death. Now I'm talking about in life. You ought to love your children enough to prepare for them in life to be able to live this life and live a life of comfortability, a life in which you have provided for them a protected environment. Let me take my time with this for a minute, because on this Mother's Day, we've got to understand that she protects them in death, but she's also protected them in life. Even though her sons are dead, she stands outside in the elements to protect what is left. Notice what verse 10 says. It says, "And she spread it for her upon the rock, from the beginning of harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven." She's protecting these dead corpses of her son. Now, I know this is for you. You're sitting there and you're saying, "Pastor, you got to make the turn, because this ain't making sense on Mother's Day." But you've got to understand, notice Rizpah is a picture of what a mother really is. That even in death, she is protecting her children. Somebody needs to know that that's my responsibility in life, is to protect my children. Many of us, when we talk about protection, we think we're talking about providing money. But I'm talking about when you're praying for your children, interceding for your children, praising God on behalf of your children, offering and sacrificing for your children. She protected them in death. But notice she does it in their life as well. Even though her sons are dead, she stands outside in the elements to protect what is left. Notice Rizpah is in mourning. She's also fasting. And she's protecting their dead bodies for 3 to 6 months. Let me see if I can make this plain. Because notice, Rizpah is at a place and point in her life where her two sons are now dead. Let me paint the picture for you. Can you recall your children, how they were born? You went to the hospital all eager and excited. And notice, you matriculated with them through their life. And now, based upon situations that is beyond your control, David has offered them up. And now they are hanging and their corpses are there. Notice what Rizpah does. Rizpah has her agenda, and her agenda is to fan away all of the elements that come up against them. As they are hanging there, she's fanning off all of the beasts and the birds that are trying to gnaw away at their bodies. She's protecting them in their death, just like she did in their life. Let me be a little bit clear, because some of us in here need to know that you don't need to wait until your children are behind a prison cell to be talking about, "I'm finna go on and mortgage the house." You need to mortgage the house when they're getting ready to go to college. You need to make sure you give them everything they need to be successful in this life. I hate to hear a parent say, "Well, you know, it ain't my responsibility to do that for my children." Your children, no matter how old they get, are still your children. Well, you know, child support, it cut off at 18. Miss me with that. I don't even know how old mine are, but support still ain't cut off. Amen. And you got to understand, it is your responsibility as a parent to make sure they have all the tools that when it's time for them to stand on their own, they are able to stand on their own. That's why you got to keep on fanning on the vultures and the elements that are trying to destroy their lives. On this morning, you're learning firsthand from RISVA what it means to protect your children. Somebody this morning, this afternoon, you waiting around for a happy Mother's Day, but you need to make sure that every day is a day that's happy for your children, and you need to provide joy, unspeakable joy, and an environment that is protected for your children. She protected them in death because she loved them in life. RISVA is the picture of being relentless. As a parent, as a mom, you've got to be relentless when it comes to your children. In other words, I'm not going to just allow them to just be anything. I'm going to be relentless to make sure that I give them everything that I can give and provide for them. I'm going to speak life into my children. Somebody needs to call your children today, because you've been the one hanging them. You've been the one insulting them. You've been the one picking away at them. Well, on the day, you need to get up and make a phone call and learn how to wave away everything that's trying to get in your child's head. You need to pick up the phone and tell them, I know you can do it. When you were born, When I remember you being born, on the day you were born, I remember how God spoke to me. And you got to encourage your children. And then if you don't remember them being born, you better learn how to encourage them in spite of. I wish I had some witnesses here. You got to learn how to, if you ain't been around your children, if you wasn't there for your children, well, this is the time for you to be there for your grandchildren. Yeah, you may have messed up on one end, but you don't have to mess up on all the ends. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. You got to be relentless. I'm fanning off all of the vultures, all of the animals that are trying to get at them. Everything that's trying to consume their mind, everything that's trying to destroy their heart, their emotions, I'm there to encourage them, to let them know it's not time for you to give up. You will be successful. Yes, you can do it. You don't need them in your life. You will make it. Oh, yes, you can. You have the ability. Everything that you need, it's all there for you. You got to learn how to speak your children up, because the world going to tear them down. Oh, yeah. I don't need to tear my children down. It's enough for y'all that's going to do that. Our job is to make sure we fan off. Look at somebody shout, I got to fan off some stuff. Oh, maybe you just need to fan off some stuff. Maybe you just need to just get, maybe you on tonight you need to call your children and let them know, I want you to know that I believe in you. I'm trusting that you're going to do greater, and I'm believing things are going to work out. Don't worry about that right now, because that's temporary. You got a permanent situation that God is getting ready to bless you with. You got to fan off all of the enemy's assaults, all of the enemy's attacks, all of the negativity around them. You got to learn how to fan it off. Look at somebody shout, fan it off. Got to learn how to fan it off. Notice what she does. Her sons are dead. This is a sobering moment. But what I've got to do, all I need to do is protect what I have left. Look at somebody, tell them, protect what you got left. I don't know about you. Sometimes life will deal you some stuff. And you don't know which way is up. Anybody ever been there where you sat in a room and it couldn't get dark enough for you? Anybody ever sat in a room and you didn't want to hear nobody's voice? Anybody sat in a room and you didn't want to be bothered with nobody? You didn't feel like praying? You was upset with God? Am I talking to anybody outside of myself? Have you ever been in a situation where it seemed as if you couldn't give up, but you couldn't go forward? Well, let me help you out. You got to know. You got to protect what you got left. Look at somebody, tell them, protect what you got left. You got to protect what you got left. I don't know about you, but you got to protect what you have left. Listen, you got to protect the little sanity you got. You got to protect the little peace you got. You got to protect the little joy you got. You got to protect the little happiness you got. Look at somebody, tell them, you better protect what you got left. Our problem is we're too busy looking at somebody else's joy. You trying to take from somebody else's joy when you need to focus on the joy that remains in you. See, I don't have time to look at your joy and become jealous at what God is doing for you, because I know what the Lord is able to do for me. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. You got to protect what you got left. Whole lot of us, we ain't got but that much left. I'm this close to losing my head. Listen. Somebody need to know, I'm close. Look at somebody shout, I'm close. But is there anybody in here to know I'm protected? I'm protecting everything I got left. That's why I'm fanning off every negative rumor. That's why I'm fanning off every negative assault. That's why I'm fanning off every gossip, every lie. I'm fanning it off because in this season, I don't have time to entertain what may deplete what I have left. So notice, I got to protect what I have left. Notice that's what Rizva does. Rizva is protecting what she has left. The Bible allows us to know that, notice, from the beginning of harvest in verse 10 until water dropped. Okay, I'm going to get to the water dropped in a second. But you got to know that my situation deserves a decent burial. My situation deserves a decent burial. Can I help somebody out? You made the mistake. That was you in the text message. That was you on the phone. That was you in the video. You made the mistake. Look at somebody, tell them, you made the mistake. But I guarantee you one thing, I am not the mistake. I made the mistake. It happened, but my situation deserves a decent burial. See, many of us, the reason why we can't move forward is because we too busy allowing people to remind us what we walked away from. You're trying to defend what happened 10 years ago. Look at somebody and tell them, that's old news. I'm thankful you don't know my new news. My situation deserves a decent burial. You got to learn it's some stuff in your life that you got to bury. And once you bury it, you got to walk away from it. Don't go back and bring flowers to the cemetery. Probably many of us Every time somebody says something about what we used to be, our problem is we got to go back to where we used to be. I don't know who they think I am. And they don't know. I do such and such and such and such. Why you gotta take flowers back to what you done already buried? Ladies and gentlemen, if it's buried, it's gone. Look at somebody shout, that ain't me no more. Yeah, that was me 10 years ago. But the new me, you will never get to know. Because watch this. I ain't finna allow what I buried to come forth. Is there anybody in here that know I'm not giving resurrection to old situations? No. Notice what happens. My situation deserves a decent burial. You got to bury that stuff. Look at somebody shout, forgive yourself. You got to learn how to forgive yourself. Yeah, forgive yourself. Everybody else may not forgive you, but you got to forgive yourself. Look at somebody shout, I got to forgive myself. The reason why you keep on going through the same cycle, you won't forgive yourself. Okay. Let me move on. I gotta move on because it's Mother's Day. Notice my situation deserves a decent burial. It's been a drought for 3 years. Y'all read that in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Been a drought 3 years. Look at somebody shout for 3 years. 3 years. Been a drought for 3 years. And for 3 years, David been trying to figure out why the drought is. He finally goes to God. God gives him an answer. He offers up the sacrifice and he gives them seven men so that they can hang them as a remedy to the sacrifice. Two of the boys belong to Rizpah. They are Rizpah's sons. These are her sons. She was Saul's concubine, AKA side piece. I figured you understand that. She's one of Saul's side pieces. She's got two boys. She's got two sons. And so they're hanging, and she's out there flagging off, notice, for 3 to 6 months, she's out there with her sons that are dead, and she's flagging off, waving away everything that's trying to attack their corpses. Let me see if I can help somebody out. She stands out in the elements for 3 to 6 months. You want to know what a mother's love looks like? For 3 to 6 months, she's standing outside and she's waving off animals and birds and pests, and she's protecting their dead bodies for 3 to 6 months. Notice her love for her sons does not stop because they cease to exist. Let me say a word about that, because you got to understand and be clear that just because someone is no longer here does not mean life just starts all over. It's some stuff you still got to deal with. Listen, don't let nobody tell you you ought to be through grieving by now. But hold on. Don't you allow life to stop because you're still grieving. Ooh, that's good right there. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. In other words, you still got a life to live. I know they are not here any longer, but you still got a life to live. Look at somebody, tell them, live your life. Okay, let me cut around a corner. In verse 10, it holds some keys to us that I need to go and close out with. Notice what happens from the beginning of harvest. Notice that's 3 to 6 months. She's fanning them off the animals in verse 10. And notice until water dropped upon them out of heaven. Okay, y'all don't know how to read the Bible. You'll miss it if you're not paying attention. I shouted when I read that. The Bible says she's out there fanning them off all of the animals. Her sons are hanging. They're dead. But notice what happens. It's been a famine for 3 years. And now all of a sudden, water begins to fall. Y'all don't know when to shout. Okay, I'll do it again. So it's been a famine for 3 years. That means there's been no rain for 3 years. They have a deficit, a drought for 3 years. Her sons are hanging. She's fanning off all of the animals. But notice what happens. Water falls. Y'all still don't know when to shout. Let me, I wrote it down so you'd understand. I need to tell somebody, rain comes after the sacrifice has been offered. Rain comes after the sacrifice is offered. Okay, if you ain't sacrificed nothing, if you hadn't done anything, you get nothing. But for those of us that have made our sacrifices, we've been through famine season. I need you to understand, after the sacrifice is given, the rain falls. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. Tell them, out of all the sacrifices I've been given, out of all that I've been doing for my children, I'm believing that rain is about to fall in their life. Look at somebody, tell them, rain about to fall. It's about to fall in your children's life. In other words, blessings is about to fall. Look, overflow is about to take place. Favor is getting ready to happen. Healing and deliverance is getting ready to take place. Look at somebody, tell them, it's getting ready to happen. Rain is about to fall. Overflow is getting ready to take place. Favor is about to, is there anybody in here that knows that something is about to break forth? So notice, if you are sacrificing, this is literally what the text says. If you're willing to sacrifice for your family, for your children, if you're willing to sacrifice, God makes rain fall. Okay, let me look at it, because some of y'all are looking at me and you saying, no, I don't know about that, Pastor. Rain comes after the sacrifice is given. On this Mother's Day, I need you to remember, rain comes after the sacrifice is made. Verse 10, Rizva the daughter takes sackcloth. She spread it upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until water drops upon them out of heaven. And she suffered neither birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And notice what happens. I need you to understand that since rain comes after the sacrifice is over, here's the next thing I need to tell somebody, and I'm almost done on this Mother's Day because I can't sweat too bad because I'm like you. I want to look good for dinner as well. But understand, and I can't change clothes. Amen. So understand. I need to tell somebody this. Rain is falling. After the sacrifice, this is what God wanted me to interrupt your Mother's Day to tell you. The famine is over. You missed it. Okay, that's fine. The famine is over. Look at somebody shout, the famine is over. Now I want you to declare it like you're going to declare it to your children this evening. The famine is over. I mean, declare it like you're going to declare it to your children and over their life. The famine is over. I mean, you need to just say it like you're believing. The famine is over. And you need to have your children's face when you're saying it. The famine is over. Is there anybody here that knows the famine is over? That everything that has been holding me back, the famine is over. That God is getting ready to open up doors because the famine is over. That God is getting ready to deliver because the famine is over. Is there anybody that knows the famine is now over? Okay, watch this. Notice the Bible says in verse 11, and I'm almost done. It was told David what Rizva, the daughter of Ahia, concubine of Saul, had done. David went in verse 12, takes the bones of Saul, bones of Jonathan, his son, and he takes them. And in verse 13, he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan's son. They gathered the bones of them that were hanged, all of them. And verse 14, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, they buried in the country of Benjamin in the cemetery of Kish's father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. Okay, let me close it out. This is my last point. The king is just one call away. I didn't put this version, but I want to read it. Here's the Message version so you can understand verse 14 as I close out this sermon in verse 14. Message version says, they did everything the king ordered to be done. That cleared things up. From then on, God answered their prayers. Man, y'all don't know when to get excited. Message version says, verse 14 reads, they did everything. In other words, they didn't say, why we got to do it that way? How come we got to do it? I don't understand why you ain't doing it another way. They didn't hold a vote and say, well, you know, I motion we do it another way. The Bible says they did everything the king ordered to be done. That cleared things up from then on. And God answered their prayers. I'm switching mics. I'm finna switch over. Now, watch this. Watch this. Everything is cleared up because of their obedience. I wish I could come to your house, sit down with each one of you, and let you know that most of our problems stem from not being obedient. Okay, I'm gonna close it out this way. I don't have a voice to hoop and holler today. Had a long week, but let me do it this way. Your burdens are about to help be a blessing to everyone else. Okay, your burdens are about to help be a blessing to everyone else. And hold on. The way you respond to what you go through is about to bless somebody's life. You see, many of us, we get bitter and angry. And we start asking God, God, I don't understand why. Maybe God knew he could trust you with what you're going through. But I don't want to be sophomoric. Let me do it this way and I'm closing. These men were hanging. They were hanging on a tree. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's what Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says. Verse 14 allows us to know that we basically have salvation through the tree. Okay. How can somebody be cursed and it be a blessing? I'm not understanding. There's a dichotomy, because you're telling me they were cursed to hang on the tree. But you're also telling me it's a blessing in going through a burden. Pastor, you're not making sense. You need to help me out, because I think you maybe did too much driving on the interstate the last few weeks. I don't know what it is. But Pastor, you've got to help me out. Let me see if I can make it plain for you. These men are hanging. Their mother stands there at the foot. She waves off everything after death, because there's nothing she can do for their death. But hold on. This ain't the first time we see somebody hanging on a tree. And notice, it ain't the last time we're gonna see somebody hanging Okay, y'all been with me long enough to know in just a few more centuries, it's going to be a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And he's going to hang on a tree. He's going to be crucified on a cross. You know, a cross ain't nothing but a tree. And notice what happens. His mother is there. And notice the Bible allows us to know the difference in Rizva's situation and Mary's situation is the fact that Mary's son is raised from the dead to resurrection. Understand something here. You've got to know that notice everyone that is hanging on a tree is cursed. But Jesus took the curse and made the curse a blessing. How did he do it? Because of the power of God. I'm about to bless somebody in here that whatever you're going through, you need to know one thing. You're going through it because God is about to take your burden and be a blessing to you. Look at somebody and tell them, I know that's right. And we can thank God on that, on this Mother's Day, that God will take the burden we have and use it for our blessing. Look at somebody and tell them, I know that's right. And the reason why he takes our burden and uses it for our blessing is because, watch this, he wants us to walk around and be a billboard for what he's able to do. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm a billboard for what the Lord is able to do. Is there anybody in here that knows that I've been through a whole lot, but I thank God, and can I use this cliche, that I don't look like what I've been through? Is there anybody here that knows that God has been good to us? And you ought to thank God on this Mother's Day morning that the Lord has been good to you. Why don't you just look at somebody and let them know the Lord has been good? And since the Lord has been good, you owe God a praise. Why don't you just tell the Lord, just tell him, thank you, sir. You've been so good to me. And since you've been good to me, I just want to tell you, thank you for what you've done. Is there anybody here that knows? I'm going to tell the Lord, thank you. Why don't you just shout, thank you, Lord, for what you've done, because you've been good. You've been so good to me. I can't hold it in, because you've been good. Is there anybody here that knows he's been good to you? Come on, help me close it out.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.